first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
The burr. In most of the country, it is cold. I guess when it's this cold, the climate fanatics and hysterians, is that a word? Have to change from global warming, which they used to say, to climate change. So we need to be afraid when the climate changes, because we have so much arrogance that we think the weather is our fault and we can change a fraction of a degree of temperature. I don't know. It's amazing that people buy in to so much nonsense. Now, as you heard in the opener, you're more than allowed and you have a right to believe as much nonsense as you wish, but don't expect everyone else to be forced into thinking so as well. And that's kind of where we are today. I woke up thinking how the whole notion of live and let live is dying in this country. That's kind of a paradox, isn't it? Is live and let live dying? Remember when America believed different strokes for different folks? You could think what you want. It's your mouth. You could haul coal in it for all I care. Just don't force me to agree with you. But now there is a strain of totalitarianism running through our country, running through Hollywood for sure, which I hope I'll have time to get to in a minute. But first, I want to open with this. Yesterday, I saw a news item. I'm not real big on polls because many times polls are known as push polls. You ever heard that? Push polls, meaning a poll that is designed to persuade you instead of to report what people think. It's really designed to manipulate your opinion, to push you one direction or another, because a lot of people are stuck in adolescence and they believe that they have to go along with the crowd, just like they did in adolescence when there was a lot of social pressure. If you remember your parents who would say to you, you know, if Jimmy decided to jump off a bridge, would you do it too? Evidently, a lot of liberals and a lot of politicians are jumping off the bridge because, I don't know, somebody's either telling them to or bullying or intimidating them into it, or telling them they won't get committee assignments if they don't jump off the bridge along with everyone else. Nevertheless, the Gallup poll says that the biggest problem, more Americans than ever believe that the biggest problem facing America is its own government. Now, that may be bad news to you, but it's good news to me because I am glad Americans are more than ever figuring that out. Even more than inflation and rising interest rates, which are good for some and not so good for others, open borders, all of it, people are beginning to figure out that government is the problem. Government is causing the problem. And then they put forth a solution that fits their agenda in the first place. You got to look at everything like a left-handed person, and then you'll look like a psychic because their behavior is so very predictable. All you got to do is look at the news that they are accentuating, that they never stop pushing. If all the media is going after some very horrible cops who happen to be black, who beat to death Tyree forgot his last name, Tyree. I should have it in front of me. Then it's white people's fault, and we got to take away everybody's guns. So let's accentuate one story so we can get what we want and use the story as an excuse to change policies that we were intending to change anyway. Got that? It's kind of backwards. Maybe that's why I understand it so well, because I'm left-handed. I'm not left-ideed, but I am left-handed. So I just thought it was a really good idea to resurrect a great president who made it, who was more eloquent about the dangers of big government than anybody in the last maybe 100 years, except for maybe Calvin Coolidge, and most of us, even I, don't remember him. So, producer Art, let's hear one of the best presidents who was so eloquent when it came to understanding the problems of big government.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. It is time to reawaken this industrial giant, to get government back within its means, and to lighten our punitive tax burden. And these will be our first priorities, and on these principles there will be no compromise.
Don't you wish more Republicans would talk like that today? Instead, them is fighting words for the radical left, who are absolutely hell-bent, not only in growing government, but growing the authority and the retaliation of government for those who dare to dissent, which is a direct attack on some of our most basic constitutional rights, the right to speak up, the right to peaceably assemble. Peaceably assembling does not mean you're an insurrectionist, especially if you don't happen to be armed, for heaven's sake. Not one of those people who are saying that people who were in January 6th were armed insurrectionists can point to anybody who is armed. We have the right to dissent, to disagree, and to petition our government for redress of grievances. Those are the things that are now being criminalized. So it goes to the very heart and soul of what this country is about. That's what I endeavor to do whenever I can. And I hope you will speak up in your sphere of influence as well. Now, with my last couple of minutes in this segment, and I didn't even give the phone number because I got so much to say today, I want to mention something that I saw on Twitter, and that was that, and I think it's legit, sometimes you never ever know. Headline on Twitter, and you can follow me on Twitter if you'd like, it's just at KarenCataline.com. I learned a secret that if you put your Twitter, I don't know if I just am experimenting, if you put it on private, then all your followers can actually find you easier and they won't shadow ban you as much. I'm experimenting with that. So I'm giving my Twitter handle at KarenCataline.com because unless you follow me, you may not be able to find me. And as soon as I did that, I was getting way more people following me. I don't understand that. Or commenting. Nevertheless, headline, celebrities call for a total Hollywood strike until every last person gets jabbed. You get that? Hollywood celebrities think they are so essential, so absolutely indispensable that they can put out dictates to everybody in America, certainly in Hollywood. Now, never mind the fact that I have heard again and again that Hollywood celebrities were quite active in getting fake, phony IDs that said they got jabbed when they didn't, because it used to be Hollywood celebrities were into natural stuff. They didn't want to, they'd take baths in bottled water, for heaven's sake. So to take an experimental jab, many of them were not interested, but they didn't want to come forward publicly because they were too feeble and cowardly to be able to speak up against the avalanche of leftist woke opinion. But when did creatives, Hollywood, and others become so very totalitarian? Why? Maybe they always were. There are the new soup Nazis, ladies and gentlemen, the new soup Nazis. They suffer from an impressive degree of hubris and stupidity, and they actually believe that if they give us ultimatums, we will buckle under and every last person will take the vax. Are they paying attention to the loads and loads, tragically, horribly, people who are dying suddenly? No, they're too ignorant to do that. They're just going along with the crowd. God forbid we can prove that the vax is causing this. And right now we can't. It is suspected, but guess what? The media and the woke leftist community refuses to acknowledge. They refuse to have even an ounce of curiosity or suspicion. No, they're engaged in still forcing, still pushing, still advertising the vax, no matter what evidence comes out. I thought they were the ones who told everybody else they were ignoring the science. We're living in a matrix, ladies and gentlemen, because what they say is the opposite of what they do. I have headlines, loads of them. Breaks my heart. 14-year-old Spain soccer star dies suddenly. 18-year-old girl dies suddenly after collapsing at school. 23-year-old college swimmer dies suddenly. No cause of death given. 14-year-old, I said that, 32-year-old son of Atlanta radio host Ricky Smiley dies suddenly. And we are expected to believe that this is normal and we shouldn't ask questions. And one journalist even said that she got myocarditis from the common cold. Do you remember getting myocarditis? Anyone? From the common cold? Here's another one. Daughter of Sopranos actor John Ventimiglia dies suddenly at 25. Is this, when you, before the age of COVID, do you remember anybody just suddenly dropping dead? No, of course not. But the celebrities want to give us the ultimatum. We better take that fax, whether we don't like to or not, because God, they're pro-choice, aren't they? Aren't they pro-choice? Don't they believe in everybody's right to make choices for themselves? No, they don't. I gotta go. Just to take a break, you're listening to Spouting Off. I'm Karen Cattley. We'll be right back with a great guest after this. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cattley.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to the Secret War, a Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free.
Thanks, Pat. Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. We've got a great couple of guests, and I've been looking forward to talking to this next guest. I'd like to say I consider him a friend. I've known him pretty much from the beginning when I started talk radio, so that's a while now. He's always gracious and generous with his time, and he's so much fun to talk to. His name is Dan Wass, nationally recognized Second Amendment advocate and spokesperson. Dan's been a guest on the Sean Hannity Show, NRA TV, and he talks about a lot of other things other than guns, but we like having him on as a gun expert. He is the author of Good Gun, Bad Guy, and Good Gun, Bad Guy 2. He's host of a podcast which is aptly called Loaded Mike, Loaded Mike, and a founder and president of three corporations, including House Detective, Home Inspection, and Appraisal Company. Dan Wass joins us right now on Spouting Off.
Hey, Karen, how are you? So great to be on your show, and thanks for that great introduction.
Well, it is totally my pleasure, and I love having you on. We've been so busy lately, haven't been able to, so really, really pleased to do so. And I just want to start off with an article that gets to the heart of the matter that you had at OpsLens.com. We'll give them a shameless plug, OpsLens.com, the title of which is The Devil Wants Your Guns. Talk about this article and why this is not hyperbole.
Well, I mean, you know, the way I look at it, the Second Amendment, along with the other amendments to our Constitution, were founded as traditional American values, and they were, you know, our country was created under the vision of God, and the idea that there are some people in our government who want to take those rights away is a perfect example of the devil. Now, whether you believe in God and the devil, I'm not sure, but it certainly does look very evil to me that people would come in and want to destroy the rights of their fellow citizens. And that's where the premise of the article comes from. Had fun writing that one, but I wasn't expecting you to pull that article up, so that's interesting. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I loved that. Let's see. I don't have a date on it, so I don't know. Is it really old? Sadly,
no.
It's still relevant. It's very, very relevant right now. As a matter of fact, Dan, I want you to comment in light of what you just said in the article that you wrote, because I got all worked up, and it's hard not to get worked up today about a whole bunch of things. There was an article recently, you probably saw it, a story that only found it, of course, into the alternative media. 80-year-old man getting beaten by home invaders reaches for his firearm and instantly turns the tables. He shot one in the chest, and this drove the radical Democrats and gun grabbers nuts. And I'm just going to add one other little commentary on this, and then I want you to comment on the whole story. Republicans never, ever fight back with the same rhetoric that the left does. And my new thing that I'm on, and you can use it if you want, is how come everyday citizens are pro-victim and anti-criminal, and the left consistently is anti-victim and pro-criminal?
Well, I think it comes from the notion that the people on the left have been conditioned to believe that they are morally and intellectually superior to others. It's part of the indoctrination. It's part of the conditioning that they go through, and they get that conditioning through the media and through movies and all sorts of things. So I think a lot of them actually believe that they are the good guys. And they've also been taught that criminals in our society are victims of the society.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and then they've also been taught to believe that nobody needs to really take personal responsibility for their actions. So you have
dangerous,
to couple these
boy.
Things together.
Yeah,
you got somebody who believes they're morally superior, believes that criminals are victims of society, and believes that the people aren't responsible for their actions. So you get this kind of social justice warrior mentality that is out to defend the bad guys. It's awful the way these people have been conditioned and brainwashed, but that's what we have to deal with. So, and then you get people who end up in, you know, in government offices, namely people like Gavin Newsom and Kathy Hochul, who either take on those beliefs that criminals are victims, or they're just doing it for political reasons. But what they do is they actually let criminals out of jail while disarming good Americans. So you're getting a reverse effect on society. They're doing the exact opposite of what they should be doing. But I think a lot of them believe that they're doing the right thing. And that's the shameful part of it. They've been taught mm-hmm. wrong.
Well, you know, and I like to drill down one step further and say, or at least posit the theory that these people that have been conditioned, as you so aptly described, are the useful idiots of the true Marxists, communists, and socialists who want to disarm anybody who would dare to dissent the takeover of this country. And they're the useful idiots of that ideology that seeks possibly, and you can tell me if you disagree, the plan is becoming clearer and clearer that these globalist Marxists want a national police force who will do the bidding of the huge, massive federal government. They don't want local policing, and it seems as if that's why they've been trying to debase and frame all local police officers as somehow being racist and corrupt, when they're the corrupt ones.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, imagine if there were no sheriff's department. Like right now, I'm just looking at, I'm writing an article on Illinois gun, semi-automatic rifle ban that's a lot of the sheriff's departments are not complying with, because the sheriff's departments are our first line of defense, and they, a lot of them, are saying no to these laws because they're unconstitutional. So what big government doesn't want are those people, because they know that they can defy federal law, sheriff's departments and things like that. So they can
smear all cops, no matter how little evidence, how ridiculous the premise that police are racist, especially black police officers, and it must be white people's fault because black officers were irresponsible and should never have been police officers, that makes their case for a national police force. All you have to do is call something racist and you can eradicate it. You can erase it. You can ban it, whatever it is. Call it racist. You can get rid of it.
Yeah, and if you have, you know, Democrats running the show at the federal level, you're in trouble from the get-go. There's no getting around that. So luckily we were able to fight that stuff back. But yeah. that's part of it. You know, to go back to the article, Devil Wants Your Guns, you know, it talks about the narrative too. You know, now people might not realize this, but when Hitler was in power and he had control over the minds of all those people, he had one source of news. It was called the People's Observer. And he also wrote a book called Mein Kampf, and that was mandatory reading. And if you needed to get some news, you went to the only source that was available.
Mandatory. And, what's that tell you?
Yeah, well, his book was given to newlyweds and given to all military people, and it was considered mandatory reading. And so you were indoctrinated by lack of any other options. At least we have options here in the conservative world. We've got conservative voices and conservative outlets popping up every single day. That's why they're trying to cancel. They're playing whack-a-mole right now with all these conservative news outlets because they can't stop them. They're popping
they're
up
trying,
shows like
though.
Yours, shows like mine.
They are
up
trying.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That leads to other things that they're doing, that they target anybody who disagrees, any kind of dissent. I just want, you know, we still have a few minutes, which is great. There's a meme, and I want people to understand I am not in any way advocating violence, but there's a meme out there, and I paraphrase. It says, the reason any government would want to disarm law-abiding citizens is because they know they're about to do something for which you would want to shoot them.
Yeah, and I'll take that one step further. They know, right? They know that they are about to do something that they could get killed for. And no, I agree. So they wouldn't they wouldn't feel the need to ban guns if they actually thought that they were doing right by the Constitution. So yeah, it's a great meme and it's a great point, and it's happened before. So.
Right.
You know,
when have governments that had regard for its law-abiding citizens ever moved to disarm those law-abiding citizens if they weren't opening our borders to criminals unvetted, if they weren't emptying prisons to criminals who have been convicted and who pose a threat to people? And now we're back to the 80-year-old man who shot an intruder. Because that intruder must have thought that he had an easy, soft target. And, I mean, what else can we conclude but that these gun grabbers want to make a lot more soft targets? Where, you know, what else could anyone conclude?
I think you're on the right track. I mean, because we use common sense when we try to evaluate these things. And when you disarm people, what happens to them? It makes them vulnerable. When you make people vulnerable, they're easier to control. You know, people are vulnerable on the welfare system because they don't have the skills and resources to go out and they've lost that through generations now. We're going 3 to 4 generations deep into the welfare system. These kids being raised in the welfare system are not being taught to start businesses. They're being taught to game the welfare system. So they know that these people are vulnerable and they need government to help them survive. And it's the same thing with guns. If you take away the guns and make people vulnerable, people are going to need government, police departments or government of some sort, to keep them safe. And they know that.
Yeah, and if there's a corrupt government that aims to, I don't know, throw you in jail for showing up at a protest outside the people's house, you know, what are you going to do about it? I'm not saying you're going to take a gun and stop them. I'm saying if you have corrupt politicians, which, gee, I think we have a few, then they have greater power. We only have a couple minutes, and it's kind of probably wrong for me to bring this up, but maybe you could give a little minute about this. I had so much to talk to you about. Headline, GOP House members introduce bill to repeal the National Firearms Act. Could you comment on that? Unlikely to pass because of the presidential potted plant, Joe Biden, won't sign it. But talk about that for a minute, if you would.
Well, yeah, the NFA has been a problem for gun owners since it was signed into law. And what it did was it created a tax on certain firearms. It created limitations on certain barrel length rifles, all sorts of different stuff. It's totally unconstitutional. But because recently we've had people have heard about the Bruin case in New York State. The Bruin case created a new precedent, and that was that gun laws must meet historical tradition. And this is huge, because now we're going back and we're looking at gun laws that are on the books, and we're saying, well, wait a minute, this doesn't meet historical tradition. These issues, or this wasn't around during the days of our founding. So when they're saying that now you're taxing rifles and you're limiting full automatic rifles and you're limiting things like that, people, they're saying, well, wait a minute, this wasn't historically a tradition of ours. So let's go and try to unwind it. So I think what you're going to start to see is, because of that Bruin case, because Clarence Thomas wrote that historical tradition piece in the Bruin case, you're going to start seeing a lot of these gun laws that are on the books start to unwind. And I think it's going to be an incredible day, because people are going to be able to exercise their Second Amendment right in a way that it was intended.
Well, you know, in precious little good news, that sounds like good news. We have less than a minute. Tell everybody, Dan Woss, his name is Dan Woss, W-O-S. He's easy to find, but you tell me, where can people hear your podcasts and follow you and find you online?
Well, thank you very much. I always appreciate being on your show, and you're doing some great work, too, so thanks, and keep up the great work. But my book series, Good Gun, Bad Guy, you can find that at goodgunbadguy.com, goodgunbadguy.com. Answer all your questions about the anti-gun left and their mission to disarm the population. My web show is called The Loaded Mic, and that's at loadedmic.com, or you can go to Right America Media, same network that you're on, Karen, and you can...
Gee, how did that happen?
I don't know. What a coincidence.
We're trying to...
What a great group of people we have there, though, on the network.
Germinate. I got to run. Dan Woss,
all right, Karen.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have our regular Thursday segment with an Epoch Times reporter. Don't go away for that.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, In our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police in the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Karen Cataline got her parents to name her Karen before she was born, so she could grow up to be a punchline. Now here's more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to more of Spouting Off here at our flagship station, 1590 AM, WSMN and 95.3 FM. The podcast comes after the show, not before, just so you know. And we are growing and people do pick up our podcast, sometimes live, our show live or after the fact on Memorex, I guess. I date myself. I am so excited that every Thursday now we have a regular feature in which we invite on a reporter from the Epoch or the Epoch Times. There's any way you say it, it's a great publication. And they are sponsors of ours, and I love having them on. Today, we have a national investigative journalist covering politics, wrongdoing, and the stories of everyday people facing extraordinary circumstances. She is a regular reporter for the Epoch Times. Her name is Beth Brelja, and I hope I pronounced that, Brelja. Beth,
right.
Welcome. What is it?
It's Brelja, second time of the charm there, Karen. Nice to meet you. Good afternoon.
Yeah, you never quite know, but thank you very much. Spelled Brelje for those listening who'd like to find her work. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Spouting Off. We're really delighted to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Great. So I looked up a couple of your articles, and boy, are they relevant to what's going on right now. The first one is pro-life activists face prison time as the Department of Justice increases FACE Act prosecutions. This in light of the fact that Mark Houck, a pro-life activist, was just found not guilty on Monday by a federal jury of charges stemming from an altercation outside a Planned Parenthood clinic. Help us unwrap all of this in light of the article that you just wrote.
Well, I think we should talk about the FACE Act for a moment. The FACE Act stands for the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances. You can protest on the streets of a city and break into stores and not get arrested, but you can't stand in front of an abortion clinic and put your toe in a certain place while you're praying and expect to be free from the law coming around. The FACE Act, which was enacted in 1994, is only related to abortion clinics. So ever since Roe v. Wade, the FACE Act has become a tool that the Department of Justice is using a lot more. In the 10 years between 2011 and 2021, There were 17 FACE Act charges, and all of them were for pretty major things. You know, people that really, like firebombing a clinic or something. I mean, they should have been talking to the law. But here in just 2022, so again, 10 years, 17 arrests over 10 years, that's less than one a year, right? Well, no. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's math. Okay, I'm allergic to numbers. But
me too.
Less than two a year. Okay.
Yeah.
Math.
Yes, but in less than two a year. What do we got now?
In 2022, they had 26 people arrested for the FACE Act, including these folks down in Tennessee who were at a clinic in 2021, and they were this clinic happened to be in front of in a bigger medical building, so it was a door in a hallway of a medical building. They were in the hallway praying and singing church hymns. And they were talking to women who were entering about abortion, trying to dissuade them from having an abortion. And 11 of them were arrested for with a FACE Act violation. See, back before the FACE Act came into effect, you may recall in the 80s and early 90s, like Operation Rescue, thousands of people were gathering at abortion clinics across the country. And they were saying, no, we don't want abortion. We don't want you to have an abortion. We this is not what we should be doing with pregnancy. And at the time, it wasn't a huge risk to do that. So a lot of people were engaging in it. It was like a summary offense. You'd maybe get a trespassing charge if you stood on the property or something. But then some bad things happened, you know, horrible people murdered some of the people who worked at abortion clinics. And so Congress responded with the FACE Act, which now it's a year in federal prison for the FACE Act. But for the 11 people who were arrested in this Tennessee incident, there, a lot of them are facing 11 years in prison because now, just this year, by the way, that happened in 2021, action at the abortion clinic I just described in Tennessee. They weren't arrested by the FBI until 18 months later. So they kind of thought it was not an issue anymore, right? So they are being charged with 11 years because it's 1 year prison would be for the FACE Act violation, but they're looking at 10 years for posting about it on Facebook and live streaming their prayers and
posting
stuff.
About it? You can't post about it. How does that stop access to post and exercise your right of free expression, which is dwindling?
This is a new charge. The feds have called it conspiracy to violate civil rights, and that's a 10-year sentence. So now it's and one of the people in my article. Actually, also, before she was charged for this one, because 18 months passed, she also was at a Washington, D.C. clinic. So she was charged for two incidents. So she's facing 22 years in prison. She's a mother of 18. She adopted 10 boys out of Ukraine. 10 boys. Can you imagine having 10 boys? But, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can protest and make your voice known. You know, these folks are saying, hey, we're not actually protesting. Protest, like a firefighter doesn't go to a fire and protest. They say we're rescuing. We're rescuing babies. So that's how they view themselves. But they have seconds from the time a person gets out of their car until they walk into that door. They have seconds to convince women not to have an abortion, and they are successful some of the time.
Well, they're not forcing them to not enter, right? They're not forcing. I find it hard to understand how protest blocks access. If they are being restrained from going in, then that would definitely be some kind of a violation. But notice it's only about abortion. And nothing else. Yes, go ahead.
The hallway was narrow, and it was uncomfortable to walk past all those people because they were standing on both sides of the hallway, and they were going to talk to you. So that made it So, you know, in the law's eye, they were blocking access to the abortion clinic. One of the people arrested was sitting in a wheelchair. She is an 87-year-old woman who is a concentration camp survivor. And she said she was taken away on a cattle car when she was a child in Yugoslavia. This happened directly after the war. She said if people in our city that were upset about what was happening wouldn't have stayed quiet, if all these people would have stood on the train tracks, probably some of them would have been hurt. The government might have made an example of them, but if enough people stood up and said no, the government would have listened eventually. And she views her putting herself between women and the door of the abortion clinic as preventing, as standing on the train tracks for those babies. That's her view.
Well, what her view is, I would think, is immaterial to the law. I guess the law is going to be challenged, probably, possibly, and taken to the Supreme Court because isn't it a question of either access and what constitutes access or freedom of speech and freedom to protest on a city street? I think that's what I wonder about. Are there people being charged with this FACE Act who are simply protesting, or are they being charged with some kind of restriction of access?
Well, what's happening is, you know, I said over 10 years' time, only 17 people were charged, and those were for issues that were pretty major. Now, all of a sudden, things are, you don't have to do as much to have the law come to your door. If you recall, they were arrested about a week after Mr. Hoke, that you mentioned earlier, was arrested. There was a video of a man who's interviewed in my story. His wife took video when the FBI came to their door early in the morning with their guns drawn, pounding on the door, and they took him away in handcuffs and drove him to Nashville. And, you know, by 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he was out on the street, and they had given him restrictions. The thing is, he wasn't really a danger. So they're really trying to intimidate and put a chill on free speech. And that's kind of the thing is, you know, when do we have a right to free speech? You shouldn't be blocking doors to any building, right? I mean, that's not really something you should do. But these folks say, well, we have a calling from God to get in the way of people being led to death. So for them, they have a Christian worldview that they view as, you know, wanting to rescue babies, and they're willing to risk it. They're willing to go to prison.
Well, and they're being made an example of for people who might just want to stand on a street and protest. I think, you know, there's an elephant in the living room. I mean, I could move on to another article that you wrote that was just terrific about gas prices and what have you. But I want to stay with this in our last couple of minutes, because I guess you could say, or I'm going to say, that the elephant in the living room is that the radical left, which now controls the Democrat Party, this issue about abortion is their signature issue, regardless of what you think. And it's been a contentious issue for 60 years, and people have nuanced opinions about abortion itself. But it's interesting that they're going to pull out this old law and use the FBI and others to retaliate against anyone who disagrees or dissents against the whole notion. I mean, the president, whom I call the presidential potted plant, is now thinking of calling abortion and the lack of access to it, which there is no lack of access to it, as like a national health emergency. That's how much they depend on this issue. Why, I guess in a long-winded way, why is it that they're not yet, God forbid, using the criminalization of disagreement and dissent on other issues that the left cares politically so much about, like protesters
why people
who
care. Go ahead.
What?
That's why people should care about this issue, because this right now, it's these folks that you may or may not agree with, but what's happening to them can happen to you.
Yeah, the next time there's a new issue, like maybe you're standing outside counter-protesting people who believe in climate change, climate change, climate change. Or maybe you want to protest these celebrities who are giving us all an ultimatum that if we all don't get jabbed, they're going to stop working. And of course, I would love for them to stop working because they put trash out. But that being said, if you wanted to protest them and say, stop telling us what to do and start believing in pro-choice like you claim you believe, then if that's an issue that the overreaching federal DOJ wants to punish, they'll find some way to criminalize protest, right?
I think that's really the concern here. A lot of folks are unaware that President Biden had formed the Reproductive Rights Task Force, which is led by the Department of Justice, and part of its right after Roe v. like in less than a month after Roe v. Wade was overturned, the Reproductive Rights Task Force was formed, which the name itself indicates it's not a that it's leaning in one direction, right?
Well, of course. It's not a constitutional right, but they want to tell everybody it is, right?
And in the court, right.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. We do have to wrap it up. We have only a minute. Boy, how much fun it is to talk to you and any reporter every Thursday from the Epoch Times. Tell everybody how they can find your work, because we want to keep reading what you write about.
You can find me on Twitter or just go to the Epic Times. Beth Brelia, B-R-E-L-J-E. Thanks.
Brelia. I love that name, Brelia. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope to have you on again soon. Take care. Well, that about does it for this edition of Spouting Off. We'll have another edition tomorrow. And we have one every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern live. Keep on spouting off, because there's way so much to talk about, and we need your voice.